always overwhelming to see the leading of the Spirit and the singing. And the selection for the choir tonight, the choir master, "Worthy is the Lamb," is in keeping with my message. We have looked at "Behold your God, behold the man, behold my servant," and tonight the subject is "Behold the Lamb." Shall we turn, please, to the Gospel by John, and reading two verses. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Please, to verse 35. "Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God." Once again, the Lord will bless to us this lovely reading from his precious word. You feel like Moses, taking the shoes from off your feet. The place whereon we stand is holy ground. When we discuss this great subject, the Lamb of God. Time and time again, God speaks to us in simile and in metaphorical language to bring before us the dignity and the excellency and the supremacy of the Lord Jesus. He makes selections from the vegetable kingdom. In Isaiah 53, we read, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground." In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, "As an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." Selections from the vegetable kingdom. And occasionally God makes selections from the feather kingdom. And in Psalm 102, we read, "I am like the pelican of the wilderness. I am like the owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." The pelican is a bird of penetration. He's the aquatic bird. He loves the streams and the lakes. But he's the pelican in the wilderness, out of his natural environment. And that was true of the Lord Jesus. When he came to this earth, he was out of his natural environment. Heaven is his fatherland. Heaven is his home. And as the owl of the desert, the bird of seclusion, that loves to operate in the night, and none of the ransom will ever know how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. And as the lone sparrow upon the housetop, the bird of isolation. And God also makes selections from the animal kingdom. And we find him in the Revelation as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But here we see him as the Lamb of God. This subject, the Lamb, permeates and pervades the entire range of the Word of God. Just like a scarlet thread and interwoven into this exquisite fabric of divine truth, we see this red strand pervading all scripture, uniting and cohesive. And what a subject this is, the Lamb. The first reference is found in Genesis chapter 4. Abel brought his little lamb, and he offered it to God with the fat thereof. Here we have the lamb, and the lamb is typified with the fat thereof. We follow this red strand, we come through to Genesis 22. And there we have the lamb prophesied. "Here is a fire in the wood," says Isaac, "but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" God will provide himself a lamb. The lamb prophesied. And we follow this strand through into the book of Exodus chapter 12. And there we have the lamb, and the lamb is outlined. Israel instructed by Moses to take the blood and apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel. The lamb applied. move into the area of the prophets, we come to Isaiah 53. There with the Lamb personified, led as a lamb to the slaughter. And here in John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Lamb identified. John, seeing Jesus as he walked, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then to the Revelation we move into chapter 5, and there we have the Lamb, and the Lamb is magnified. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And John concludes the Revelation 7 times in chapters 21 and 22, there's a reference to the Lamb. And there we see the Lamb, and the Lamb is glorified. We feel the emotional impact of such a subject tonight. In Genesis chapter 4, the Lamb typified, the emphasis is on the sweetness of the Lamb. In Genesis 22, the Lamb prophesied, the emphasis is on the preciousness. Leviticus chapter, Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb applied, the emphasis is on the protectiveness. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isaiah 53, the Lamb personified, the emphasis is on his submissiveness. John chapter 1, the Lamb identified, the emphasis is on his distinctiveness. Revelation 5, the Lamb magnified, the emphasis is on his worthiness. Revelation 22, I suggest to you, the Lamb glorified, the emphasis is on his loveliness. The Lamb typified. He offered his lamb with the fat thereof. That is an ugly word in these days of weight watching fat. But in the Word of God, it suggests the sweetness and the strength of the animal. Surely this again is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Wholesome sweetness ever characterized our blessed Lord. His name is sweet. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. It was Bernard of Clairvaux who said that the name of Jesus is as honey to the taste, as music to the ear, and as a song of gladness to the heart. The name of Jesus. In the genealogy of the Master, the Savior, in Matthew chapter 1, we have three groups of 14 generations, 42 names. In the first 14 generation group, there was an outstanding man, and his name was Abraham, the man of faith. In the second 14 generation group, the outstanding man was David, the man after God's own heart. In the third 14 generation group, the outstanding man was Zerubbabel, the man who brought the nation out of Babylonian captivity, with Ezra the scribe and with Nehemiah. But neither Abraham, nor David, nor Zerubbabel could save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus the Savior. When Saul of Tarsus was going down the Damascus Road, that outstanding man, I love to read of him, an English gentleman who wrote about turning points in world history. He said, as he compared Saul of Tarsus with Napoleon Bonaparte and Alexander the Great, he says Napoleon was a creature of a moment, and that Alexander the Great was a pygmy, but Saul of Tarsus was a colossus. That man, that intellectual giant going down the Damascus Road, fell in love with Jesus. I am Jesus. And Jesus the Sovereign meant everything to Saul of Tarsus from that day on. Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Sovereign. And the book closes, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Oh, be it, dear friend, his name is sweet. But so also is his friendship. Solomon says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. His friendship is sweet. And you'll never find a friend just like he. Earthless friends may fail or leave us. One day through, the next day leave us. But this friend will ne'er deceive us. Oh, how he loves. The scroll of the great Chrysostom of Chrysostom, who was brought before the Emperor Arcadius, who demanded he give up his Christianity. He said, unless you do, he said, I'll put you into exile. Chrysostom said, Sire, this you cannot do. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Well, he said, I'll confiscate your property. They said, Sire, this you cannot do. My treasure is in heaven. No one can break her. Well, they said, I'll take your life from you. He said, Sire, this you cannot do. My life is hid with Christ and God. He was absolutely infuriated. Well, he said, this is what I'll do. I'll put you in solitary in confinement, away from your friends. He said, Sire, this you cannot do. I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I recommend him to you tonight if you're not saved. What a friend we have in Jesus. His name is sweet, his friendship is sweet, his counsel is sweet. We took sweet counsel together, the psalmist said, and Mary sat at his feet and heard the wisdom of his word. But so also is his voice. My sheep hear my voice. His voice is sweet. The emphasis is on the sweetness. In Genesis 22, moving along, following this beautiful, cohesive subject, the Lamb prophesied, and the emphasis is on the preciousness. In Genesis chapter 22, God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains. This, my friend, is a picture of the sacrifice of all sacrifices. The Lord Jesus Christ. Every priest stands at daily offering offering the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. You examine Genesis 22, there was a path to the altar. And there was a purpose at the altar. And there was a place of the altar. And there was a pain at the altar. But there was peace also at the altar. The path to the altar, the Father and the Son went on together. And what a picture this is of the Father and the Son as they went on together to the place of the altar. Hear him as a boy. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? there at the tomb of Lazarus, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. John chapter 12, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. Glorify thy name. The voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. The path to the altar. Then there was a place. Three times in Genesis 22, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. A place that was specially selected for that burnt sacrifice Abraham offering up Isaac. The place of the altar. My dear friend, the most significant place in the universe is not Washington, nor Ottawa, nor Peking, nor Moscow. The most significant place in the universe is the place called Calvary. But the greatest event that ever took place was enacted on your behalf and mine. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, and I'm glad it was Neil Armstrong and not Neil Dougal, President Carter said, rather, President Nixon said, this is the greatest event in the annals of human history. All due respect to President Nixon. He missed it by 2,000 years and quarter of a million miles. The greatest event in the annals of human history and in the records of eternity was Calvary. Everything depended upon the success of the Lord Jesus at the place called Calvary. The place of the altar. But then there was the purpose of the altar. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. It was a holy spiritual transaction between Abraham and Isaac. And both were in mutual enjoyment. No, my friend, the purpose of Calvary was for the glory of God. A mutual exercise, the Father and the Son. And the primary purpose of the cross was not to save your soul and mine. We became the beneficiary. Thank God. But the primary purpose of the cross was for the glory of God. He found the man that glorified him. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And my friend, there was pain at the altar. Abraham's legs must have felt like lead. As he bound his son, his only son, and put him on the altar. You and I will never know the pain of the Lord Jesus and the pain of the Father at Calvary's great transaction. There was the identification with sin. Ye, a holy God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to identify himself with sin, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, in anguish of soul. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, on my will, but thine be done. He who knew no sin was to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here the Holy Son of God was facing the sin question. All the sins that we heard this morning of the whole world to be placed upon his blessed shoulder. Identification of the pain. But there was also the isolation because of sin. The Lord knew that he would have to be separated from God for a little while. An experience absolutely new to him. He enjoyed unbroken fellowship for millenniums. Solomon says, who is he that ascended into heaven? Or descended, who gathers the wind in its fist, bounds the waters in a garment, and established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Eternal Son of the Eternal God. Unbroken fellowship. And the Lord knew because of the institution of the Day of Atonement what he would pass through. You remember in Leviticus 16, on the Day of Atonement, the priest took two goats. One was slaughtered and the blood sprinkled 7 times before and 7 times on the mercy seat. And the live goat, the Azazel or Azazel, was taken. And all the sins, and all the transgressions, and all the iniquities, of the nation was put on that little goat. And it was taken by the hand of a clean man into the land of desolation. I had a friend in Scotland, a tremendous Bible teacher when I was a boy, and he was an elderly gentleman, but what a man of God. A great poet. And he wrote a poem, Azazel. There is a land, a solitary land, a land from every other land afar. No sun that ever kissed its gloomy strand, nor dawn, nor day, nor moon, nor morning star. Land of the useless tear and useless stars, where skies are dead and every stream run dry. No song bird ever rose to greet the ear. No flower did ever bloom to bless the eye. Unutterable desolation reigned despotic o'er the kingdoms of despair. No change is known, no seasons wax the wane. Still hopelessness hangs stagnant in the air. I saw a goat with heavy head hung low, with sunken eye, and well-worn travel feet. In that sad land, a living war. I hear its hoarse, lamentable, piteous bleat. It pierced the moral universe above. Upon eternal shore, the echo breaks. That loud, that lone, lamentable cry. My God, why didst thou me? Verse 6. Isolation because of your sin and mine. I was in Toronto a week past Lord's Day. A gentleman told me of a dear friend of him who some years ago, his name was Hugh Walker, well known in Toronto, and he loved to witness for his master. He was in a warehouse with a Hebrew gentleman, and he thought somehow, some way, he would try to get around to him the subject of salvation. And so he said to this Jewish gentleman, one of my most emotional moments is to read about the abandoned cry of the Lord Jesus. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The Hebrew gentleman said, sir, you have the wrong annunciation. And he cupped his hand around his mouth in that warehouse, this Hebrew gentleman. He said, this is how it sounded. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Abandoned. My God, Matthew records it, Mark records it, because Matthew is the trespass offering gospel, Mark is the sin offering gospel. And that's why he was abandoned for you and for me, because he was bearing our trespass and our sins in his own body on the tree. Identification with sin, and so the A
angel came and strengthened him. What an enigma! The creature strengthening the creator. Isolation because of that. Oh, my friend, we think of that moment when God raised the sword. Abraham raised the knife, but God said, Abraham, Abraham. And turning round, he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket, a substitute for Isaac. For there was no substitute for the Lord. He did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And God raised the sword, and the sword of justice that should have been pierced in your heart and in mine, he plunged it into the heart of his son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is my equal. Surely the emphasis is on the preciousness. There was nothing more precious to Abraham than that ram, the substitute for his wife. And he was held by his horse. Had he been held by any other part of his body, it would have been blemished. That could never be a type of the Lord Jesus. He was held by the horns of his love. It was love that led him to Gethsemane, or Judas ne'er could find him. It was love that nailed him to the tree, or iron ne'er could bind him. It was love that lived, it was love that died, with endless life to bless. Now hast thou won thy blood-bought bride. Worthy art thou, Lord Jesus, precious, the Lamb of his heart. Exodus chapter 12. The Lamb applied. Assuming that an Israelite went so far as to obey the orders of capturing the blood, keeping up the animal from the 10th to the 14th day of the month, and capturing the blood in a vessel, but failed to apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel, that Israelite would have died the same as the Egyptian. That blood had to be applied. As we heard this morning, there is adequate provision in the death of the Lord Jesus for all mankind, but men must take the initiative. You remember in the days of Pharaoh and Joseph, there was hunger throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph built storehouses and gathered corn like the sand of the seashore. And when the famine came, it was throughout all Egypt and surrounding lands. But the message by Pharaoh was, go to Joseph. There was adequate provision in the storehouses, but men, women, boys and girls had to take the initiative to go and satisfy their palate. Likewise, my friend, the blood has been shed, but you must apply it to your great need. Most of you know, much of my activities is in the field of evangelism. And you could keep you here to midnight telling of some wonderful occasions when the blood was applied in all its preciousness. One of the most productive memories I have is 10 years ago. In Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. God came in and the Spirit moved upon the water. Housewife got saved. An educator, Samuel Geisender. Young people. Fishermen. We were supposed to conclude on a Tuesday evening, but the brethren prevailed and asked to continue a few more days. And the final night was a Friday night, and it will always be precious in my memory. In the audience was a dear gentleman, by the name of Charles Curry, and his dear widow, daughter, son-in-law, and children are in this audience. I preached the gospel that night from Zechariah chapter 1. The Lord is at hand. He has prepared a sacrifice. And he has been his guest. I shook hands with the Charles as he went out, and I could see that he was anxious. I said, Charles, we're leaving tomorrow morning. I befriended him for the month. We're leaving tomorrow morning. I'd like to come up and say goodbye. By all means, you're welcome in my home anytime. I went up to see him. And that night I said, Charles, the Lord is at hand. The Lord comes tonight, that says, Alice will be gone. Your daughters will be gone. I'll be gone. And you'll be left behind. He trembled from head to foot. He got off his chair and threw himself flat on the carpet, put his head in the carpet, and he wailed, Oh God, save my soul. And I got down beside him with my Volkswagen engine here, and I was filled with emotion. My old heart was pumping, and I have a bad heart, as most of you know. We got off our knees. He said, I've got to call my mom and dad. So he got through to the operator, but he couldn't speak, so I got the telephone, and the all messages then went to the operator. He heard. I said to his mom and dad, Charles has just gotten dead. And that went right through the island like a bushfire. He was down to see his mom and dad. And then he had a special friend whom he promised, if he ever got saved, he'd be the first person to tell. We got down to Godfrey Albury's house, knocked at the door, lots of tears. And he says to Godfrey Albury, his brother-in-law, I just got saved. I'm now the child of a king. He went down the street, telling friends, and finally outside of the chapel, at midnight, he sang, Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 6:30 in the morning was the men's prayer meeting, and we were leaving by the ferry at 8 o'clock. I went to the prayer meeting, and who came in but Charles Curry? We got down on our knees, all of us. We all prayed, and we waited, and finally he began to pray. He said, Lord, this praying business is new to me, but I'm going to pray anyway. Prayed for his brother, prayed for many friends, and he prayed for his boy Nigel, that he might get saved. In the islands, they all have nicknames for men, and his nickname was Chicken. And I said to the correspondent, Don Hugo, that morning, I said, Don, do me a favor. Change his name from Chicken to Eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings of eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. I sense he was going to become a man of prayer. And there are brethren here in this audience today who can testify he was a great man of prayer. 2 years later, overcome with cancer. I call him in Miami in the hospital. He says, Brother Neil, with this thing I could lose everything, cancer, but one thing I cannot lose is my Savior. And the day the Lord took him home to glory, he got word from Spanish Well that his boy Nigel had gotten saved. You see, he applied the blood to his great need, and the Lord brought him into the family of God. I'm sure the family don't mind me telling that tonight. The lamb, the blood, apply. The great Queen Victoria used to visit my native city of Edinburgh, and there was a tremendous paper mill there, special paper produced in a paper mill that was made from rags. And so she was being conducted through these Poulton mills, as they were called. And the superintendent was purposely veering her away from this particular building. She says, I want to see what's in there. And he says, Your Majesty, please. She says, I insist. And finally he opened the door, and she was pushed back almost with the smell of these rags. Sometime later, they sent down a large quantity of beautiful white linen paper down to Buckingham Palace, to Her Majesty the Queen. She sent a letter back to the president of this large
paper mill and said, that was just like me. All my righteousnesses were as filthy rags, but now I'm washed white in the blood of the Lamb. And so as I close, let me say tonight, my friend, if you're not saved, we appeal to you, time is running out. You might never ever get another opportunity to apply the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the emphasis there is on the protectiveness. And be assured, if you are sheltered under the blood, you are saved and safe for all eternity. Behold the Lamb of God. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee again for the Lamb, the blessed Lamb of Calvary. We pray, O Lord, O Father, he'll become increasingly more precious to us. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. O, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to be the Holy One, to bear away my sin. We ask these things, asking to take care of thy word, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. If you have a question or need help in any way to find the Savior, there are many here qualified, and we're willing to help you. Remember, Peter was instrumental in bringing Cornelius to the Savior, and we sure can help you. May it be so for his name's sake.